The American Civil War did not begin with a sudden thunderclap in an otherwise peaceful sky. It began after decades of argument, compromise, suspicion, ambition, fear, and moral crisis. By the spring of 1861, the United States had become a nation divided not only by geography, but by two competing visions of civilization. In the North, many people believed that slavery must not be allowed to expand into the Western territories, even if they disagreed over how quickly or completely it should end. In the South, political leaders had come to see the protection of slavery as essential to their economy, their social order, and their political power. Between these worlds stood the federal government, weakened by years of sectional conflict and now confronted with the greatest test in its history. The attack on Fort Sumter was the moment when argument became artillery, when secession became war, and when the unresolved questions of the American Republic were forced onto the battlefield. The crisis had deep roots, but its immediate cause was the election of Abraham Lincoln in November 1860. Lincoln had not campaigned as an abolitionist president who would immediately destroy slavery where it already existed. His stated position was more limited. Slavery should not expand into new federal territories. Yet for many white Southern leaders, that limitation was unacceptable. They believed that if slavery could not grow, it would eventually die. More importantly, they believed Lincoln's victory proved that the South had lost its ability to control national politics. For decades, Southern politicians had wielded enormous influence in Washington. They had shaped compromises, defended slaveholders' rights, and demanded federal protection for slavery. But Lincoln won the presidency without carrying a single Southern state. To secessionists, this was not merely an electoral defeat. It was evidence that the Union had become hostile to their interests. South Carolina moved first. On December 20, 1860, a state convention in Charleston voted unanimously to secede from the United States. The decision was celebrated by crowds who filled the streets, fired cannon, waved banners, and spoke of independence as if it were the birth of a new republic. South Carolina had long been the most radical defender of states' rights and slavery, and its leaders believed they were acting with courage and historical purpose. They insisted that a state had the sovereign authority to leave the Union when that Union no longer served its interests. Yet beneath the language of constitutional theory stood a clear and unmistakable reality. South Carolina seceded because its leaders believed slavery was threatened. In their declarations and speeches, they complained not only about Lincoln, but about Northern resistance to the Fugitive Slave Act, abolitionist agitation, and the growing moral condemnation of human bondage. Secession spread quickly through the Deep South. Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas followed South Carolina out of the Union before Lincoln even took office. In February 1861, delegates from the seceded states met in Montgomery, Alabama, and formed the Confederate States of America. They chose Jefferson Davis of Mississippi as president and Alexander H. Stephens of Georgia as vice president. The Confederate Constitution resembled the United States Constitution in many ways, but it offered stronger protections for slavery and limited certain federal powers. Its leaders claimed that they were preserving the principles of the American Revolution, but their new nation rested on a contradiction older than the Republic itself. They spoke of liberty while defending the enslavement of millions. This contradiction would shape the meaning of the war from its opening shots to its final surrender. Even as Southern states seceded, federal property remained within their borders. Custom houses, arsenals, mints, post offices, and military forts still belonged to the United States government. This created a dangerous practical question. If a state left the Union, what happened to the federal installations inside it? Secessionists believed those properties should be surrendered to the new Confederate authorities. Unionists believed they remained the property of the United States.